Let's pray before we start today. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, God, that, Lord, we can just come today and acknowledge, God, that you are the source of life. God, that there is no life outside of you, Lord. There is no peace that surpasses all understanding, rest for our souls, God. Father God, we know, Lord, that you have made everything available through Christ Jesus, Lord. And I just pray today, God, as we hear from your word, God, that, Lord, you would make things alive to us again, Father God. Things that have been dormant, God. Things that have we forgotten, God, that you'll bring to remembrance, God. That, Father, we may all grow up, Lord God, into a spiritual house, Father God, to glorify your name. Pray you bless the word today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Great. Everybody's still awake after the early morning jog to Heathrow Airport. All still with us, just about. You have to hang in. If you see anyone nodding off to sleep, you have to give them a little bit of a bump, or we'll maybe get a couple cups of water. We'll just splash you guys. Right. right. We're going to read. I've entitled my sermon "Sons of God." And but today I'm not talking about sons. There's Joshua is a son. His mom is here today. So I'm not talking about those sort of sons, but I'm talking about spiritual sons, which means sons and daughters that are sold out to the purposes of God, that understand God's heart, spiritual sons of the new covenant. So we're going to start reading today from Genesis 39, 1 to 5, and this, I really just was led to read this story again over this past week in preparation. And I remember as a child, my brother used to read this to me when I was very young, and I absolutely loved the story. It was this and a story about Samson, but I didn't like the part where he got to Delilah, so I used to always have to ask him to stop then because I liked. That was the good part of the story. And then he got to Delilah, and then I said, okay, you have to stop here. But what I loved about the story was the coat. I remember in the Bible, there's this picture of Joseph with this amazing coat on. And reading this was I think, the first time I've read it since, I don't know, I might have actually read it a few years ago, but I can't remember. And it was really amazing to read it again, and it brought back so many memories. And just what stood out for me is how God is able to do the impossible. And those of you know the story of Joseph. If you don't know, I'll give you a brief introduction. So Joseph is the son of Jacob. His mother was Rachel. And Joseph was the youngest, and his father loved him. He was the favorite. And his father, Jacob, had given him a very special coat, a multicolored coat. And Joseph was really just a blessing to his father. And his brothers were very envious of him. Because his brothers except for Benjamin, didn't come from the same mother. And they were very jealous of Joseph and the affection that he had, that he received from his father. And so what happened is his brothers set him up, and they sold him into slavery. And they told his father that he had been killed by wild animals. And you'd think at this point that this is like a tragedy, a Shakespearean tragedy, because this guy is sold off into slavery. He must be angry. There's going to be revenge. But the most amazing thing happens, and this is what I want us to see today as an introduction, really, into the sermon. remembering that the title, Sons of God, I want you to see today how Joseph, in this situation, under these difficult circumstances, turns this whole situation around because he puts his faith in God. And we read in Genesis 39, 1 to 5. So now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So God was with him, and God blessed him as he served Potiphar. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from that time he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So it's amazing. So here Joseph being sold off in slavery, you'd think he would be feeling bitter and angry and just wallowing in self-pity. But he knows that the Lord is with him. He knows that in this situation, that there is favor on his life, that God is able to restore him. God is able to turn the situation for good. And there's something in the heart of Joseph that I want us to understand today, that we as the bride of Christ, we need to understand to become sons, become spiritual sons in the house of God, but in this world to reflect Jesus, because that's what a son means. To be a spiritual son, a true son of God, because if you're saved, you're a son of God. But to be a true spiritual son in the sense that you understand what it is to inherit is to be like Jesus. To lay your life down like Jesus. And Joseph served this foreign man in a foreign country after being sold off into slavery. He served him and he found favor in his sight and God blessed him. So in that situation, and maybe some of us are in situations like that where we in difficult work situations and where God is just saying, I want you to be a son in this place. And I'm going to come to that because I'm just going to share a bit about what God's really done in my heart, because I'm definitely a serious work in progress, but God has started something, grasping what a son is. So after this, what happens then is Potiphar's wife frames him. She tries to seduce him and he runs away and basically she frames him and he ends up in prison. And again, something amazing happens. He's not bitter. He's not angry. The Lord is with him. And the favor of God is upon his life. And in the prison, we read from Genesis 39, 21 to 23, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Amazing. He's in prison, and he was there for 2 years. You'd think by this stage he's just had enough of these people, and he served them. And then it's almost like he was downgraded. So from being a ruler in Potiphar's house, who was quite high up in Egypt, he's now a prisoner. But in that situation, God raises him up to be, one is he interpreted dreams for people. But he was given so much authority in that prison. He was in charge. The keeper didn't even know what he was doing. That's how much was entrusted to him. And just the way that he served these people, foreign people, and God really blessed that. God really prospered him. He wasn't bitter. He wasn't angry. He was just a son. He was a son in a foreign land. And in serving these people, I believe that he in his heart knew he was serving God. And this is what God was wanting to do, because this is a very, Joseph, this story, I mean, it's in the Bible, obviously it's important, but it's really powerful when you think that through this man, through this lineage, Israel was secured. And we are here today through Jesus, through this story, because God restored Joseph and he restored his family and he saved them from famine because Joseph was willing to serve. Joseph was willing to be a son. Joseph was willing to go the extra mile. And in Genesis 41, 38 to 44, we read now after what happened is Joseph interpreted the baker, I think it was the baker and the butler's dreams. And he said, don't forget about me when you leave here. And he interpreted the dreams and they went on and the one was killed and the other one was restored by Pharaoh. And they forgot about him. But then 2 years later, Pharaoh had a dream and he had no one to interpret this dream. All of his sorcerers and all of them, they couldn't interpret this dream. And then I think it was the butler said, I know of someone. And they called in Joseph. So we read now. So Joseph had interpreted the dream. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown all this, there is no one as discerning and as wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all the people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you as oversaw all the land of Egypt. And then Pharaoh took his signet ring off, his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he had set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in the land of Egypt. Now, isn't that amazing? From being sold off into slavery, he was now the second in charge of Egypt. He wore the ring of Pharaoh himself, the most powerful man in Egypt. And it's so awesome to see how God is able to turn a very difficult situation and raise up Joseph for the redemptive purposes of Israel. Because the story goes on to tell, which I'm not going to go into detail, but how Joseph's brothers, because what happened is the dream that he interpreted was about 7 years of good harvest and 7 years of drought. And what he said to Pharaoh is, we need to store up grain in the 7 years of good to be able to sustain Egypt through the drought. And in the end, there's so many other nations coming to Egypt for grain because of this wisdom that God had given Joseph. And his brothers, they came from Israel today, and they came and actually received got grain from him. But the story goes on that he actually, in the end, that he showed himself to his brothers because they didn't recognize him at first. And Joseph wasn't angry with his brothers. He restored them. He said to them, you know what? This is the purpose of God. And how many of us can stand here and say we've been in so many difficult situations or trials, and we can just say, but praise God, because the Lord has used us for a redemptive purpose. Because he said, through this, through the restoration of his brothers and actually just forgiving them, they all came to live in Egypt, and they got the best land. And there was so much favor on that family, and they didn't starve. See, God's redemptive purpose was fulfilled through one man, because one person was willing to lay down his life. One person was willing to serve. One person was willing to be a son in a foreign land for a foreign king, and God raised him up. And that's really my heart for us as the body of Christ, that we will know that we are sons. We are spiritual sons. And what does it mean to be a spiritual son? What does it mean to be a son in the house of God? And I'm going to touch on that today. And we're going to focus on Jesus, because Jesus was and is the ultimate son, the son of God, our Savior, our Lord. And I believe God wants us to be molded into that image. God wants sons in his house. God wants sons in the body of Christ. God doesn't want churchgoers. God doesn't want people just coming and going as they wish, making decisions in life based on circumstances. God wants sons who understand destiny and purpose in God. God wants sons who can, in the most difficult situations, be able to just say, God, I thank you that you're with me. When you're in prison, you say, God, hopefully none of you are going to be in prison, but I'm just using this as an example, because you can just see that because Joseph was willing, because Joseph submitted himself under that rule, but in doing so, he was submitting himself under God, and God was able to use him. God was able to save Egypt and many other nations from famine, but more importantly, the lineage of Jesus, just because he was willing. And the question I ask really today is, are you a son or are you a hireling? And a hireling, what is a hireling? Hireling is a contract. If you've ever, I've worked in different companies, but we always seem to have contractors. And they don't have a contract. It sounds funny because they're contractors, but they actually don't have a contract with the company in terms of they don't get leave and pension and all of that. There's almost like they're there, but they're getting something for being there. As opposed to being there really to serve and to give and to really take hold of the ethos of that company, to take hold of the mission statement. And I've seen it, you know, specifically now with the company I work for, that we have people that work there, but their hearts aren't there. Because you see, a contractor or a hireling is there to get what they can get, right? They work to receive something, where a son works to give. The son works so that someone else can get more. And you see that, and this is something that God has done in my heart in the last, last 6 months. I'll just share a little bit, really what's what's happened is I've been working for this company for about 3 years, well, 2.5 years in January it was. And I was really frustrated because I've worked at different companies, and it feels like every time I kind of was, you know, going, sort of getting more responsibility, and I left and I started another company, and then I came here, and it's just like you're back at the bottom again, you know, and you have to work your way up. And I was just so frustrated, and I came back from South Africa in January, and I was just really frustrated, and I thought, well, maybe I must move to another job. And God really challenged me, and he just said, are you a son or are you a hireling? Are you here for what you can get? Are you here to build up a reputation for yourself? Or are you here to serve another man's purpose? You see, we being a son is not just in the house of God. Being a son is being representative of Jesus in this world to people. Because when you're a son and people see something in you, when they see that Joseph in you, that Joshua in you, then, you know, that they see Jesus, and it glorifies God. And I just remember that was really challenging for me because I've got a boss, and hope he doesn't listen to the sermon, but I've got a boss, and he is really a hard taskmaster. God gave me this guy. I just know, you see how God works as well. You know, so we often, you see, this is where hireling, if he doesn't like the boss, he just runs. Where if you have a contract with those people, there's an agreement. Obviously, you can just still work there, and you can just work for a salary. But I believe God wants us to go so much further. God wants us to be sons. And I just made the decision. I just said, God, this guy is tough. I think in 3 years, I've probably got a well done. That's it. He just doesn't affirm. That's just not his gifting, and it's just not good enough. It's just you have to do better, you know. And you know you're working hard. And I just said, Lord, I'm gonna give it everything. And it's amazing to see the difference. First of all, his heart towards me has changed completely, and he's beginning, you know, he's really begun to just entrust me. And it was for me just a decision. It wasn't that I chose to work longer hours or I chose to, you know, be there like all the time so that I can get affirmation from people. And, you know, it was just I was consistent in who I was. But more than that, I just went the extra mile when I was at work. When I heard him say something, it was just a word, just, you know, we really need to find that out. I just went and did it. And I said, there it is. I just said, you know, I'm going to do everything that I can to serve these people. And I want to be a son, yeah, God. I want people to remember, Lord, the work that you've done in my life. I want people to remember me, but not just me. I want them to remember the way that I serve them. I want them to remember the way that I made them coffee or the way that I went the extra mile. I don't want to just be anybody, because we're not called to just be like everybody else there. God has called us to be sons. God has called us to be different and to reflect Jesus. And that's the difference between a hireling and a son. Is the son is in it for the master and not for himself, to answer your question, in short. So this is a work that God has really done in my heart. And I just felt to share this message. It's not a very long message today. But I want us to catch this, because if you catch this, I can just tell you that God is faithful. And that it's God that does the work. It's not something that you can do in yourself, but it's a decision you make. Just like Jesus made the decision to go to the cross as the Son of God. He chose, he knew this was his purpose, but he chose to do it. So let's just read on. In John 10, 11 to 18, it speaks about a hireling and the difference between being a shepherd and a hireling. So John 10, verse 11, read, I'm the good shepherd. So Jesus is talking. Sorry, can I just get a cup of water, please? Somebody, thanks. I'm quite thirsty. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Thanks, Ellen. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, my father loves me. I just love that. Isn't that amazing? Just such an intimate, like, you just think, my father loves me. And there's nothing more amazing than when your father says, you know, I love you, my son. And that's why I try with Josh, you know, as often as I can, just to tell him that I love him before I go to sleep, before I leave. Thanks, Alan. Cheers. And because it's that relationship, cheers. That relationship that builds a bond and an understanding. You see, this is not about, yes, it is about the shepherd and the hireling. Jesus is comparing, and he's saying, you know, that the hireling leaves when at the first sign of danger, but a shepherd, a true shepherd, stays. He's saying, I'm that shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one that cares for my sheep. But there's something else I want us to see. I'm just going to read on before I get completely sidetracked. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I've received from my Father. So what do the sheep represent in this parable? What do the sheep represent? Us, the church. Okay? Yes? But the sheep represent something more precious. Precious to the Father. Okay? And Jesus understands this. The sheep represent something precious to the Father. You see, God has made Jesus overseer of the sheep. He has given him the responsibility. He is the advocate. God has made Jesus our intercessor. And he has been given authority. Thanks. I'm getting way excited, yeah. heard Daddy loves him. God has given Jesus this authority, okay? But what I love is it comes from a relationship with God, the Father. This authority, this understanding that Jesus knows that this comes from God. It's not something he's done, he has to, that he's... made up himself. God has said, right, you are the shepherd. You care for the sheep. Right, you take this. I've commanded you. You take this and you do this. But you still have that choice. And Jesus submits himself under that will. And that's what a son does. You see, a son says, I will obey the master, even if it means it costs me something. And I use my example as the work, and not because I'm perfect. I can tell you now, I've messed up more times than I've got it right. But it's something that God is doing in my heart to, when I just realize, you know what, it's not about me. It's not about me laying down your life and taking up your cross. What does it mean? It means that you're giving up your right to make decisions based on your life, based on what suits your needs, based on what works for you, sometimes even for your family. It's what works for God. It's not about you. And we don't ask God often enough, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? We make the decision and then we justify it through scripture according to our knowledge, our interpretation. So we're saying, God, look, Jesus, I'm the good shepherd. My Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. My Father loves me. Because why? Because I'm obedient. Because I'm submitting under his will. That's why he loves me. And I tell you, it's amazing when I see Josh when he's just, and I just say no, and he just does it. It's something inside of me, I just think, man, I love this kid. And then the other 10 times he doesn't do it, but I love it when he gets it right, you know. And because there's something about a child that receives correction and that is obedient to a father. There's something about that. I can't explain it. It's such a joy. Like, thank you, you know. Thank you for listening to me. I don't have to fight you. You're just listening. I'm doing it because I love you. I'm doing this because I want the best for you. No, don't touch the oven. Don't do that. Don't touch that. And if you do it 3 times, you're going to get a little smack. And you're not going to like it. But you know what? Afterwards, we'll be okay and we'll still be playing. And sometimes God is like it with us. He comes and he says something once. He says it twice. He says it 3 times. And then we're in a difficult situation. And sometimes, like if you're stubborn like me, then you'll be in the fire. And actually, I literally was not quite in the fire, but for me, it felt like fire. Because when I, this company I first worked for, I must share this story quickly. Now, Debbie knows, when I was a, she laughed when I told this, when I was a baby, I was a hot baby. Okay, so because we lived in hot baby, as in temperature hot, and I'm not that full of myself. And we lived in Empangeni up in Natal, and it gets very hot there. It gets 40 in summer. So, they had to have a fan on me all the time because I used to go red. I used to just go blood red. And I used to use that fan every day, I think, till I left the house. I was, like, so attached, like, so used to having the fan on. I couldn't almost, like, sleep without it there. But anyway, so I'm someone that doesn't like the heat. So, you know, Debbie always she thinks, well, you know, we could have a few more days of summer. And I'm like, you know, I actually don't mind. I don't mind the winter, it's just the short days. I actually like the cold. I can deal with it. I can't handle the heat. And anyway, so this company I worked for, we moved facilities, and we each had to decide where we're going to sit in the desks, and they had like all these new desks and all these old desks. So now our team leader, we were about probably 12 in the team, and he said, okay, I'm just going to assign who's going to go where. And I was just like, no, I've already decided I'm sitting there, right there. Because that was the best desk. I just decided I'm doing that. You know, I don't care. And like, this guy was really nice, I must say. But I could see that upset him. Because in front of everyone, I just decided I'm doing this. So basically, I was being completely rebellious. And lo and behold, everybody found other, you know, was allocated chairs except me. Because I chose my own and chose the best desk in the best corner for myself. And guess what? The aircon didn't work in that corner. The only one in the building. And that entire summer, it took them 3 months. The summer was gone to repair that air conditioner. And I'll never forget it. It was the biggest lesson of my life. I just said, God, you've taught me something really powerful here. Because I was angry initially, and I complained, and I sent emails, and I wanted the aircon to work, and I couldn't work. It was affecting my productivity, and that's why I wasn't meeting deadlines and all these excuses, my word. To be honest, I didn't like the heat, but the lesson that I learned there was that you need to submit to authority. You need to submit to those that God has placed over you. Because God has given them the wisdom in situations to speak life when you're confused and also to bring direction. And often my boss at work now, I mean, often I think I know what's right. And I'm like, no, I'm adamant. This is the right way. And you'll say, no, we'll do it the opposite way, like this. And then I'm thinking, and then 1 month down the line, it's the right way. And often that's how I find it. When you submit to leadership and authority, there's a blessing because God blesses you. Right? When you submit, God blesses you. So it's not about that person, but it's about God, actually, the fact that you're honoring authority. And that's how we should be with authority God has placed over us. So I'm just going to lead into a few principles that I want to share today about authority and being a son. And what I also want to say is, you know, being a son is when somebody comes to you. And this can be in any situation. It can be in your work situation, be in your studies, can be in a home dynamic environment, can be in even something in the natural. But when somebody comes and gives you something and says, now, take this piece of land, I want you to have it and do something with it. And that can, I mean, in church context, it could just be that you're a home group facilitator. It could just be that you're an intercessor and that's your piece of land. And then God says, right, there we go. Now, I want you to take that and actually, I want you to be a steward of that. I want you to be a son. And what is this? See, a son is working for the father. He's not working for himself. So he's not going to take that and, you know, and destroy it. He's not going to take that and then sell it and then, you know, spin it up like the prodigal son basically did. He took his inheritance, went and wasted it. And that hurt the father. but obviously more the separation than even the property. It's not about the property, but it's about the condition of your heart. Because God wants the conditions of our heart to be close to his heart. He wants us to be close to him. He wants to be able to say, you know, I love you because you're obedient, just like Jesus, I love you. And there is a place for that. But obviously God's love is unfailing. It's God's love is immense. And I'm not trying to limit God's love to when you're obedient, because God doesn't work like that either. But there is a place where a son receives the affirmation and the love of God and the favor of God. And that's what I can just testify. I've experienced in the last few months just favor. where suddenly I've gone from just being there working away, and suddenly I've been given so much responsibility that I feel like I can't even keep up with it. But it's just more and more and more, to the point where these last 3 weeks, I honestly, if I hadn't got this principle right in the last 6 months, not perfectly right, okay, if I get it wrong, but if I hadn't grasped something here, these last 3 weeks we had such a hectic deadline, and I've been working crazy hours. I hardly see my family, and it's amazing the whole time God is reminding me of this, that you're a son here, and I've never seen God fail me when I've just said, Lord, I'm gonna, you know, everything that I do, I'm gonna do for you. And when I was reading Joseph every morning last week or so, getting up at 4:45, and I'd read for 15 minutes my Bible, and that was my bread for the day. And I'll take that with me in the story of Joseph, and I'll meditate on it in the day and think about how Joseph served, and think, oh, God, you know, thank you that you've shown me this. And isn't it amazing how the Word is so alive? When you embrace the Word of God, and you accept it into your life, that it becomes alive. And that's why I'm going to share these few principles now about being a son. And for each one, I'm going to give some scripture. But it really points to Jesus. And I just want to trust that God will show us in our own hearts, remembering that all of us are different places. Okay, we don't all have to be at the same place at the same time. But you're the only one that can know. When you ask God truthfully, God, am I where you want me to be? Or Lord, maybe you're actually taking me through the season now, this really difficult season. Feels like a drought. It feels difficult. Maybe it's financially difficult. Maybe there's other challenges. Maybe it's health or whatever. But sometimes God even allows that. And I was thinking about Paul. I was reading about when he talks about the thorn in his side, and he says how difficult that is for him to accept it, because he prayed and he asked God, but God was the one that sent, allowed the manipulating spirit to actually have an effect on him. God allowed it. Why? I don't always understand, but I think when you read what Paul wrote, and he goes on to say that I rejoice in my weakness, that there is a place, I think, of where you can only be humble when you know that you can't do something in your own strength anymore. You can only just say, God, it's by grace. And that's another point I just wanted to make before I get to these principles, is that being a son of God, a son and a daughter, a son in the spiritual realm, remember, being a son of God is understanding the grace of God as well that goes with that. You see, God is not going to leave you out there. He's not going to leave Joseph in a foreign land without grace. And what does grace mean? Grace is the unmerited favor of God. It is a free gift. Grace is not something you earn. It's something you receive by faith, that God has done it, or that God has made available to him. And Joseph received that grace, and God was able to use him powerfully. So just principles of being a son. So I've discussed quite a few things, and I've touched on a lot of these. So just again, to really summarize for us. So first point is that sons are not slaves, okay? They are heirs. And we're reading Galatians 4, verse 7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Okay, so we are all sons. But there's a place where we become more like Jesus. Okay, spiritual sons. Right? Not, if you come to church to keep the chair warm, you're not a spiritual son. You're a son. You're not a spiritual son in the house of God. Because the son lays his life down for the sheep. The son does not come to receive. The son comes to give. Begin to ask God, challenging you, because I'm challenged too. God, what can I give? What can I give to your people, God? Well, how can I serve your church? How can I serve the body of Christ? Not what's in it for me. What relationship can I get? What bit of spiritual wisdom or prayer? Yes, there's place for that, because we're all growing into a spiritual house, being built up to glorify God. So Romans 8:16-17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So Joseph may have been a slave, and in the natural, everything was against him. But he knew in his heart that he was serving the one true master. He knew in his heart that he was an heir. He wasn't a slave. See, sometimes we go through life with a slave mentality. We go, we're in situations where we just think we need to accept the way things are. But God is never destined for us to just accept our circumstances. You see, we determine our circumstances around us by the decisions we make as we submit to God and the fear of God. And we see God's favor. You see, because it's not us that turn the circumstances, but we make the decision to not accept them and to look to God. And God turns our situations around. Our situation should never define who we are. We are heirs of the living God. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're an heir. You have received eternal life. You will inherit eternal life. But I believe there's another place where God wants us to inherit so much more, even here on earth. Once, not for our glory, but for the glory of God. Just like Joseph, you see, there's redemptive purposes. God's always working things. God's trying to move things. Why? For our good, to build our character, but to glorify Him. And when we're faced with difficult situations, it's so easy just to, you know, like that hireling say, I can't handle this. It's too difficult. And you just walk away. You know, you walk away from the situation. You just say, you know what? I can't handle this anymore. This relationship, this job, these people don't treat me right. This person doesn't do this for me. And when you think, it's often just about me. It's often the focus is on me. And when you put the focus on God, it's almost, then you begin to see yourself as God sees you, that you are an heir. In this situation, I will have victory. I am a son. I inherit this land. This is my land. God has given it to me. I'm going to farm this land. Until there is fruit, I will press the fruit out with my bare hands. I will squash those grapes with my bare hands until there is wine from this land. Till my hands are sore that I have nothing left to give, I will give, because that's what a son does. And that's what Jesus did. That's what his life was about. Pressing every last bit of life he had in him, he gave for us. As he was a son, and a son was obedient to the Father. The second principle, sons seek to please God. Right? Don't ever do things to please man. If man is first, yes, we can do things to bless people. But don't let that be your motivation. To get the affirmation of man. You do it. When you work for God. When you study for God. When you, whatever you do it unto the Lord. Because it glorifies God. God wants, He just wants so much more for us. That's, I just wanted to say that. So maybe someone here today. God wants more for you. You're accepting second best. God wants the best, not second best. For his children, for his sons, his daughters. You. Matthew 3:17, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus, the son of God, being baptized, coming out of the water, and God's voice coming from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, Jesus, up to that point, had done nothing. But what he had performed no miracles. His ministry hadn't started. But he had studied the word. He had got the word into his heart. He had spent time with God. He had invested so much of himself in understanding God the Father. That relationship, that connection was established in those 30 years. He was obedient. He was perfect. And he did what God asked him to do. Go and be baptized by John. You go and be baptized. But I'm the Son of God. Go and be baptized by John. You will do everything. All of this is for so that righteousness can be fulfilled, so that he can be in right standing with God. Sons seek to please God. Let our motivation, what we do, how we invest our time, where we go, even where we go. I was thinking about scripture, and I can't remember exactly where it is, but you can probably find a few where God calls Abraham from where he was to a new land, because God said to him, there I have an inheritance for you. God had to move him from that land to another place. And sometimes God calls you to a specific place for a specific time. And what I want to say is Abraham was obedient to the voice of God, and he chose to please God. I reminded us of Joshua and how Joshua, in serving Moses, pleased God. And I was reading a couple of scriptures, and I said, you know, there's quite a few places where specifically when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to face God and to receive the commandments from God, Joshua was the only one that went up with him. When Moses said to run, we need to go fight the Amalekites. Who did Moses first speak to? He said to Joshua, go and make the army ready, because he trusted him. Joshua was there to serve Moses. Moses was by far not perfect, but it's interesting how many things Moses actually got wrong and Joshua got right. Joshua was the one that actually went and led Israel to victory into the promised land. Joshua, because God could trust Joshua. Joshua the servant, lay down his life. What can I give you, Moses? What do you want? What do you want me to do? How can I serve you, God? How can I please you, God? In serving Moses, he served God, serving God's people. Sons have delegated authority. In Matthew 17, verse 5, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. So this is when Jesus is in the cloud with the disciples, and God speaks from heaven, and he says, hear him. God says, I will speak through him. I have given him the authority. You listen to him. You do what he says. In Matthew 28, 18 to 19, read as Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore, you go. I'm commanding you, as authority has been given to me. You go under that same authority. I'm commissioning you. You go and make disciples of all men. We have authority in Christ. And I think so many times, I mean, I know I'm so guilty of it. We just let situations define us. We just submit to it. You know, sometimes it can just be a thought of anger towards something. We just let it run in our minds over and over. We just accept it. We just accept the way things are. When God has said that you shall trample on serpents and scorpions and not be harmed. Okay? God wants us to understand as sons that we have authority. We have authority to speak to our circumstances, to actually, to not accept them for one, but to walk in a victory. God has planned for every one of us. It doesn't say God say that I'm going to take you out of that circumstance. Sometimes God allows things. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. God is always with us. But yet God wants us, as his children, just like David, to just say, you know what, enough is enough. You know, who is this giant that he will speak like this against the armies of Israel? Who is this person that he will defile God's army, make a mockery of God? Enough is enough. And he just walks in there and he destroys the giant with one blow to the skull with his sling. Just stood up and said, I've been given authority. Joseph, in the house there, he was given responsibility, given authority, but he had this authority that came from God. And that's what the people saw in him. They saw that, the spiritual authority, that he could pray and trust God for a vision, trust God for an interpretation of a dream. And that dream changed history. Yes, God, no, he was from the beginning. God is this. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But God uses circumstances for his redemptive purposes, and that was one of them. Right there, that interpretation of that dream that gave, that allowed Pharaoh to pour favor on Joseph, meant that his family could be saved. God's plans for Israel, God's plans for our Savior Jesus through that lineage. Sons are submissive. Submission is doing what you're asked. Okay? Submission is a choice that you make to serve someone else, to submit yourself under someone else. And we read in Matthew 26, verse 39, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed. This is Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane. And he went a little father and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Now that's submission, where he just submits himself under God's, what God has already asked him to do. And sometimes it can be what you're not even asked to do. You know, like when you're at work, your boss, you don't in a meeting then go and say in front of everybody else, when he's there, you say something against just what he said. That's submission. You know your place. You know your place. And God is looking for sons that are submissive. Because you see, when sons are submissive, then God knows that he can trust them. Because he can give them something. He can give them a little piece of land. And he knows that they will produce fruit on that land. And when God comes again and says, "No, I've given you this and I want you to do that now," they just do it. There's no rebellion in their hearts. In Ephesians 5:20-21, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." God wants us also, as the body of Christ, to submit to one another. The kingdom of God doesn't have place for cowboys. This is not the Wild West. We're not all out there to do our own thing, to be heroes. We are asked by the word of God to submit to one another in the fear of God. Submit our lives, submit situations. Come to one another, embrace one another, say, "You know, I've got this situation, pray with me." We don't have to do it on our own. And I think too many of us, we just go through life. We come to church, and then we go on again, you know, and it's just, church is so much of an effort for us. Home group is an effort. But there's something so powerful that God has in store for us. So, and his plan, this, the body of Christ, is his plan A. There is no other plan. We, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, God wants us to submit to one another in the fear of God, because submission keeps you humble as well. By submitting, you're actually saying, I can't do this on my own. You know what? That's that thing that I've struggled with forever. I just can't, you know, whether it's money or worrying about stuff like that. God wants us to be able to come to one another and share that with one another, pray with one another, so that we can walk that road with one another and work through those situations. Submission. Sons are obedient. Now, obedience, as opposed to submission, submission is a choice where you say, I choose willingly to be under someone else's authority without them saying anything. Where obedience is when somebody asks you, when God says, "Do this," you do that. Because once he said it, that is the way. "My son, Jesus, you will go to the cross. You will die for all mankind. I love you, but this is the plan that I've got to save the world, to save us." Jesus is obedient. Philippians 2 verses 8, "And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Can't imagine. I was just thinking about it this morning again. I was thinking, I can't imagine what he went through. I can't, like, we take it for granted, completely for granted. But to go through that kind of suffering, I mean, I haven't been through anything like that. I've been through shoulder operation, and there was painful recovery, and hurt myself a couple of times, broken a couple of bones, and fallen off bicycle a few times. But I've never suffered anything like that. To be obedient to the point of death is absolute obedience. And if anybody is at that place now, then you're at a good place. But I don't think any of us are. But that's what grace is about. Everything I'm saying now, I don't meet the mark on these. And that's where we need the grace of God in our lives. Sons understand who they are in God and that there is grace. But God is not looking for perfect people like Paul. God is not looking for people that get it right every time. But God wants us to get it right most of the time. And maybe we're not there yet. Maybe we only get it right 1 out of 10. But you know, 1 month from now, it'll be 2 out of 10. And then eventually you'll get there. But God wants people that are obedient. Because when God says, "Now I want you to strike that rock, Moses. Don't procrastinate. Don't wonder, must I hit it like this, or do I do that, or strike the water? You know, do you really mean that? Should I use the rod like this? God wants you to do it now. I want you to get up from where you are now, and I want you to glorify me. But God, that doesn't make sense. I've just had quiet time this morning. How can you mean that? I'm your Father. I want you to glorify me now. I want you to lift your hands and praise me. But God, I've just lost my job. God, I've gone through so much fire. Nobody understands it. I want you to glorify me. But God, that's obedience. And it's easy to be obedient when it fits into our paradigm, when it fits into what we understand and what works for us. But it's difficult to be obedient when it's against sometimes even our human understanding. And that's the thing with God. And all of this, why am I saying all of this? Because God wants us to grow up. God wants us, he wants sons in his house. God doesn't want people that keep chairs warm. He wants sons because sons become fathers. Sons understand the heart of the father. And those fathers, they look after those sons. And the sons look after the infants. And that's what the body of Christ is about. God wants sons, not church guys. Sons have a teachable spirit. John 5, verse 19, and Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Only does what he sees God do. Only does what he sees the Father do. That's challenging. I mean, I must say, I have to say, like at work, just how God has used me. Everything that I'm teaching today, I feel like I've somehow gone through many different aspects of what it is to be a son. But God has taught me that through my work environment, and in ways, a difficult environment, because obviously it's very demanding, and you got people when they talk behind your back, and so many other things, and you just think, but God, even in this situation, even though I know. Even like Jesus said, even, you know, that they slay me a thousand, not Jesus. Yeah, was it Jesus? Even though they slay me 1,000 times, yet I will praise him. Was? Job. Thank you. He was a J. Thinking, I knew, see, it's a clever audience today. Even though you slay me 1,000 times, yet I will praise you. And God wants us to be teachable. God doesn't want us to ever get to the place where we think we know enough. And that's something that I've had to learn as well. You know, you think you finish university, you've got 2 degrees, you know quite a bit, you think a lot of yourself. Then you come here and you think you've got a lot to give, and you haven't. You know, you know, when you're rebellious, when you think that you've reached, when you think you've arrived, or you've reached the point where you don't need to be taught, I can tell you now, you're at the wrong place, because we always need to be taught. And circumstances in the natural, God uses that. I mean, God used this to speak to me as well, that I will also have a teachable spirit, that when someone can come and say, you know, I want to tell you about this about Jesus. I want to tell you something that I've noticed in your life that actually you're a little bit off the road. If you can receive that, then you're at a good place. And in my work environment as well, I made the decision this last 6 months that I am going to learn every single thing I can from this man. He can do what he wants. He can talk behind my back. He can say this, say that, never affirm me, but I'm going to learn every single thing that is in his brain. I'm going to question him. I'm going to irritate him. I'm going to be on his case all the time. He's not going to work because I'm going to be there. I'm going to be asking him, and I made that decision. And the amazing thing is, I just see the difference, is that the way he speaks to me and responds to me is not like someone that doesn't have a relationship anymore. You're not over there doing your thing, and I'm over here. You've got all your knowledge, and we're not going to share that. It's just so much more openness, and I've just experienced so much favor from God in the last 6 months at work, because I embraced this principle. And I just wanted to really encourage you in your walk with God. Just know that, yes, we're all at different places, but God has such a desire for us, every one of us, that we will be sons, spiritual sons, in his house. And in this life, God wants us to be victorious. God wants us to walk in authority. God wants us to overcome. God wants us to go through the fire, but still be victorious. Not to run, not to take a left turn when you think circumstances are actually saying, well, we need to go, you know, right here. Everything says right, but, you know, I've got this feeling it's left. I've prayed and, you know, I feel it's left, but I'm going to go right because my family said it's right. My friends said it's right. God, but that's where you just say, God, I'm going to do what you're asking me to do. Nothing makes sense. But Lord, thank you that you have called me to this. So yeah, I just want to leave you with that as Mark comes up to play for us. And today I really want to, if I can just ask the ushers to just hand out the communion. We're going to take up communion. But today I really want to pray for you. If there is someone here today that really, has made me just convicted by this message. The amazing thing is, I like thank God. And I told, when I fall to share this, I'm like, the first thing I say is, this is the wrong message for me to serve because, you know, I've definitely got this all wrong. And I'm so far from this place. I've still got so much rebellion in my heart. But God just said, I'm not looking for someone that's perfect. I'm just looking for someone that will do what I want them to do. I want someone that's submissive. I want a son. And if you're willing, I'll use you. And that should be how we approach God. To just say, Lord, you know, I'm willing. I don't have all the answers. I'm not perfect. God, I can't be what other people expect me to be. But Lord, I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to have a teachable spirit. I'm willing to be obedient. God, I might get it wrong, but God, I want to get to that place. Because Lord, when it comes to that big decision on that big day, I want to know that I'm trained enough, that I've made the decisions enough time to know when it's that big decision, I'm making the right decision for you. I'm choosing what you have for me, God. I just want us, yeah, as we just to spend a few minutes, just close our eyes now, wherever you are. And just want to focus on the Word of God, focus on God and what's been shared today. And just respond to God, and however the Lord wants to speak to you now, if there's something that stood out for you today, I just want us to just speak to God these next few minutes. Bring those things before God. There's areas. Stop. There's areas in our lives that we've hidden away, we've kept locked up. I want us to just bring it before God today. If you've got rebellion in your heart, if you're angry, you find it hard to submit to authority, God is able to change that. Because God wants us, He's not looking for puppets, He's looking for people that love Him. And people that love Him, love to do what He wants, love to do what is on His heart. And that's what Jesus understood. I'm the good shepherd, and my Father loves me. I do His will. There's the hirelings, they run away. But Lord, I'm here to stay, God. Lord, no matter, God, what my circumstances say, Lord, I choose, just like Jesus chose to go to the cross, to be obedient. I choose to be obedient to your will. And thank you for your time and attention. I know many of you are tired this morning, but I really just felt that this was the word that the Lord had for His church today. That God wants so much more for us, that He loves us. And His word, I pray, will change us. That we will go on to perfection in Christ Jesus, that we will be more like Him. And then when this world remembers us, they will remember Jesus. That our greatest purpose, church, our greatest purpose in life is to be like no one else but Jesus. Not ourselves, Jesus. To be sons, to be a son, a daughter for Jesus in the house of God. I'm going to pray for us. Lord, I just want to thank you, God, that, Lord, we can come as we are today, Lord God, with all our failings, God, all our weaknesses, God, every area, God, we can just bring to you today. And we just, Lord, we choose, God, to submit ourselves, God, under your lordship, under the lordship of Jesus Christ. To you, Lord, say, Lord, today we are bowing the knee to you, God. We are turning away, God, from our selfish ways, our own ways, God. Our ways, God, that lead to destruction. Those roads, God, they don't lead, God, to life. But, Lord, I would rather be on that road, God, that is, God, yeah, just full of so many obstacles, God, go through those valleys that are so dark, God. Lord, I'd rather do that and know that you're with me, God, than, God, be in some amazing place, an exotic island, Lord, where you are nowhere to be seen, God. Father, I just pray today that, Lord, you would show us, God, what it is, Lord, through your word, what it is to be a son, as we have heard today. Remind us, God, that we will be sons, God, in your house, sons wherever we go, Lord, to our families, that we will honor our mother and our father. God, that we will honor you in honoring them. In Jesus' name. And this sense is a word you have for someone today. You haven't been honoring your mother and your father. And if you are here today, I want to pray for you. We have been completely disobedient. If that's you, I want to pray for you today. And if you want prayer, I want you to come up this morning. We just agree about these things. And if you don't, there's some refreshments. Enjoy it. Enjoy the rest of your day. God be with you. God bless you. God is with you. And may God bless you. Make His face to shine upon you and give you a greater revelation of the Son of Christ. And may we be subject to the cross. May we know what it is to take up a cross, lay down our lives for one another in the love and the fear of the Lord. Amen.